afternoon show on AM 850 KFUO. I'm Roland.
I'm Diane.
And now for something that we enjoy greatly. Special announcement, embargoed until this very moment. We knew about it over the weekend, but it was hard to keep quiet about it.
It was. At church, you know, it was pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had to run outside and shout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yell into the bushes and then run back in. I just couldn't contain myself.
You had to have a cone of silence imposed upon you. Remember that?
No, but I have worn one of those scratch, those collars that they put
those
on.
Those Elizabethan collars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What, did you have a flea problem or something?
That's like the cone of silence.
What was that all about? We're talking this afternoon with Frank Rufato, who's from Peace Officer Ministries. And we're going to talk about packed seminars, whatever that is.
That means no seats are available.
But I hear tell you're getting a new office.
Yes. I'm not so sure how big the announcement is. We are a sort of a small organization, but basically, as you all talked to Steve Lee last week, that is Pastor Steve Lee, mm-hmm. Who is the current executive director of Peace Officer Ministries. He is going to take a step back from that role, and I'm going to be taking over as the executive director at the end of this year.
That was it.
Well, who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. I'm sure that everybody is frozen in their tracks at home just with this complete disbelief.
Who would have thought?
You just got out of seminary, didn't you?
Yes, I'm a rookie pastor, yes.
Okay. Wow, that's a big responsibility for a new guy.
Yes, no pressure, thank you.
Well, it's sort of like getting out of the police academy and being handed a gun.
Yes, and I had sort of the same kind of feeling, admittedly. There really are some parallels. When I came out of the police academy and got put with my field training officer and spent some time with him, and then next thing you know, we're not riding two in a car, it's just me, and they're dispatching me to a call. And it's a similar thing. When they let you out of the seminary, you get ordained, and, I was actually at an ordination yesterday, where the pastor preaching said, "You are now a plenipotentiary."
Ooh, that sounds important.
Ooh, the beatings are terrible.
Yes, indeed. You know, or as they say, the beatings will continue until morale improves. basically, it's a fancy way to say you're an ambassador. And I think that that's how I view this. Having been in the law enforcement field, I'm now an ambassador back to the law enforcement field, to those in that career field, right in what Paul talks about in Corinthians when he says, hey, God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. And so as daunting as it may seem, on the other hand, I know that God's got it.
So it is your mission to get all the bad guys to get along with all the good guys.
Well, this side of Jesus coming back.
Well, what do you mean, reconciliation?
Well, reconciliation with God, really. And I think part of that is a healing between, dare I say it, the bad guys and the good guys, between the good guys and themselves. But it's a whole picture in terms of reconciliation. But the main thing is, in terms of this ambassadorship, is to bring God's word to bear for peace officers to see that the ultimate peace officer, Jesus, is they are reconciled to God. You don't have to convince peace officers that the law is in effect and that the law, as it were, kills. They can see it every day. They need to hear the gospel, and that's what we want to bring to them.
Well, that's literally true with police. It's the law that kills, not intentionally, but with no other choices given.
Yeah.
That's the impact of the law, too, literally.
Well, and they see that every day. They're impacted. Their families are impacted because I sometimes do presentations at churches for, say, their Bible study hour to tell them about our ministry and to try to get other people to sort of come on board with us to get excited about sharing it because this is a mission field. And I always ask the question, how many of you have called the police and said, hey, I'm having a great day. My spouse and I are getting along. The kids are obedient, especially after hearing that last segment. The kids are obedient. We don't even have to discipline
911
them.
911 gets really annoyed when I do that.
could you send two officers over? We'd like to share that. Well, I can tell you, in my career, I never got not one of those calls.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of chuckle at that a little bit, but really, when do you call the police? When something not so good is happening.
That's right. And do you find that most police officers are trying to do a conscientious job and are trying to reconcile parties involved in those?
Absolutely. And I think that I would say 99% of the folks that go into law enforcement do it when they say, hey, I want to help people, that they're sincere about that. Now, granted, when you're full of spit and vinegar and you're young, and it wasn't all that long ago for me, I do remember first coming out, you know, you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof, you're going to save the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you find out pretty quickly, well, you'll be lucky if you save the person or persons at the call that you're sent to, let alone the world. So
what do you do, Frank? Let's take a situation that just happened recently in California, just yesterday or day before. Traffic stop, three guys in a car. As they do the traffic stop, the car takes off. You know the one I'm talking about?
I've heard about it. I did not see it.
Gets about three blocks, high speed, T-bones a pickup truck with five kids in the back, kills all five kids, critically injures the two parents that were riding in the front. What do you do if you're called into that situation? Because there's multi-jurisdiction that's involved there, and it's a great tragedy, and you have to literally, you know, cradle up what's left of a five-year-old who's been killed in a tornado. What do you do in that circumstance?
Well, speaking first, maybe as a peace officer, and I've been in similar type situations. Held a young man, probably 10 years old, who shot himself playing Russian roulette, and you know, heard his last breath, and you know, was in a neighborhood where they didn't care for the police much anyway, and you know, I was the first one on the scene, and they, you know, are yelling at me, and you know, your first reaction, and even for this scenario you just gave me, is just anger. Something has got to be made right here, and I think that's a righteous indignation. I think that a police officer, a sheriff's deputy, or whoever that would arrive on a scene like that and not have some sort of anger about that, needs to check themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning they need to, you know, sort of do an inward reflection and see where they're at on their view of humanity. I mean, even when you recognize depravity around you, still have got to hold on somehow to, you know, for me it was my faith in Jesus Christ, which helped me to round that off. So that anger was directed in a right way, if you will.
Where did you serve as a peace officer?
Prince George's County, Maryland. It's a
Maryland, okay.
Yes, right outside of Washington, D.C. In fact, it butts right up against one of the sides of Washington, D.C.
Oh, my. And that's not an easy area to serve, I wouldn't think.
I was gainfully employed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All those congressmen speeding back to the... oh, never mind.
I was going to say, you know, when I came here for the seminary, and I like to run a little bit, but you have to get up early in the morning so you can miss the humidity. But, you know, Washington, D.C. is built on a swamp, and I'm not just talking about Congress.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's a joke, folks. I don't
know. No, they know exactly what you're talking about.
So what are these PACT seminars?
It's a police and chaplain training.
Okay.
For short.
So is that kind of a reconciliation, kind of bringing two sides together?
Well, what we want to do is, yes, we mm-hmm. we do want to bring for pastors or and we do many different denominations have come and been trained by us, so it's not just Lutheran pastors. So some people have, you know, sort of lay ministers in their denomination, that kind of thing, who may do this sort of thing for their particular church body. But we want to give them some good training, good scriptural training. And they, of course, get the added benefit of our hermeneutic, how we sort of start at the cross, you know, the theology of the cross, to bring to bear. And then, of course, God's two jurisdictions of law and gospel, and bring that in. So we do that for chaplains. We want them to hear that. We also want to bring them up to speed, if you will, on the cultural issues of being law enforcement. Now, if you were going to send me to, say, Honduras or something, you would expect me to learn Spanish. You know, what do they eat? What are their customs? You know, hey, don't shake with this hand, or don't, you know, wink your eye or whatever because you'll offend. Well, we view the law enforcement community in the same way. I mean, they have their own language and culture, their own sort of rites and ceremonies, if you will, even if some of them are unofficial. And, of course, they're almost, and I think Steve may have shared this Friday, that they almost have sort of a racial makeup, if you will, based on the uniform, if you will.
Okay.
I mean, that's an identifier.
Uh-huh.
And so that all the markers of a culture. Now, are you going to go in there without knowing the culture and try to share Jesus Christ with those folks? it's just it's not going to be as effective as it could be.
Well, there is a sense you cannot understand because you got to walk a mile in my shoes. You know, you got to you've never been out on the beat, right?
You haven't interrogated the bad guy who killed a kid or you know that kind of thing. So yes, there is some of that. The other thing, though, is I think having been in that career field, knowing that, you know, we want to train the chaplains, pastors, parishioners. You know, if you do have a family that comes in and you find out they're a police officer or a sheriff's deputy or what have you, please, if you get nothing else out of this, you know, however long we're going to be here this afternoon, don't tell your ticket story the first time you meet them.
Okay.
Okay. It's not that you never can, but you don't want to do it on that first one.
Yeah.
You know, it just... You know, here's a guy who may, and I've experienced this, you know, worked the all-night shift, you know, kind of came home, showered up, you know, trundled my family off to church, and I'm, you know, can't wait for fellowship hour because I'm with the coffee, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so stand there a little bleary-eyed and somebody comes up and, hey, you know, my cousin Larry was stopped over at, you know, yeah. And, you know, frankly, you're thinking, okay, dude, if you don't get away from me, I might have to shoot you. You know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just little things like that for the chaplains. And then for peace officers who may be interested, we want them to see that being Christian, you can be Christian and be a peace officer. And even more, you can share your faith mm-hmm. with your colleagues, with the people that you deal with as you do it. And it doesn't have to be... sort of how the media portrays it as some sort of flaky kind of thing. It's a reality kind of thing.
The way police officers deal with tragedies, whether it's something where they've had to shoot someone or they're, like you said, you're holding a 10-year-old who's literally dying in your arms, the way they talk about things is different. It's not, you know, as Diane and I, who might drive past a car accident and see something, we're going to react to it one way. When you see it every day, do you have to develop sort of a callousness, not because you're just a cold-hearted person, but because you can't cope?
Well, certainly. I mean, you can't be an empath, if you will. You know, if I might use a little bit of a Star Trek kind of thing there. You won't make it. So you do develop a little bit of, you know, it's much like, you know, wielding a hammer or something. Your hands get a little bit of a callus on it, mm-hmm. and so it doesn't quite hurt as much. The problem is as your, if I might put it this way, as your soul gets calloused, you become further removed from God. Because what happens is you miss out on seeing that not everybody is a dirtbag.
Well, thank you.
and
Diane really appreciates that.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jack. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you expect the worst out of people is what
right,
you're saying.
Right. Well, and, you know, police officers, we're trained paranoids, if you will. And you have to be a little bit because of the dangerous nature of the job. But the fact is, God, if I might put it so crassly, you know, despite the fact that we were all dirtbags, Christ came and died for us. And literally, we're made from the soil. God, you know, formed Adam out of that soil, that dirt, and breathed into it. And so not to see that in people and that God loves that person. I'm not even talking in a salvation kind of way at this point, but just being able to deal with people in that horizontal realm between, you know, as we say, since I'm fresh from seminary, I remember a couple of the Latin phrases, coram mundo, before the world,
uh-huh.
how we stand.
Well, I guess that's in, what, Romans 13, which you're submitting to people in authority.
Yes,
right?
That would be sort of the seat of doctrine for that,
uh-huh.
for law enforcement. But there's all kinds of stories. There's all kinds of police officers in Scripture. I mean, you've got Cornelius.
Cornelius, your first hero. Yeah.
Yes. you know, and how fortuitous. I'm in Cornelius, North Carolina for my parish.
Well, how about that?
You know, you just can't beat that, really. So you've got those kinds of things going on. You've got the jailer who was converted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a corrections officer there.
Sure.
And so you've got these stories that, you know, God saves even peace officers.
Well, you use that Latin word, coram mundo. There's that the other side of that is coram Deo,
right.
which is how we live before God. Mm-hmm. You're in an interesting position because, you know, like with Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, you heard this, if there was a just God, if he justly got what he deserves. How, you know, and it seems we confuse justice and mercy. How do you straighten that out with folks?
Well, I do want to talk to them about how we do not want to mix up the horizontal realm, that coram mundi, with the vertical realm, the coram Deo. The fact is, we are all, before, when we're before God, we are created equal, if I might quote the Founding Fathers there, in that we're all sinners. And as we sit before him, you know, he says, Jesus said, be perfect as my Father in heaven is. I don't know about you guys, and not me. I can see in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And officers do too. Officers sort of have this, even if they're not thinking quite theologically, they sort of understand it. So what I do is, and if I might just share a short story, I had an investigator when I first was trying to get into the homicide unit, which the holy grail of investigations, you know, that's which, I mean, let's face it, how many TV shows have, you know, the check and fraud investigators?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that those aren't important, but not as much. So I really want to get into homicide. I get into the homicide unit, and there he is, this sort of stereotypical TV cop. Irish guy, nice looking, and he could talk to anybody about anything. He could get a confession out of anybody. But he worked hard, solved cases, and he played hard. And I looked at him certainly in terms of the job. Boy, I want to be like him when I grow up. I want to be able to get in that interrogation room and be able to, do like he does. Well, we had a child who was killed, had the bad guy in the interrogation room, and he comes out and he looks right at me. Now, my nickname at work, even before I went to seminary, was Father Frank, because they all knew my fate. Yeah, it was kind of like Norm at Cheers, you know, when he used to walk in the bar, hey, Norm, you know, for me it was, hey, you know, Father Frank, he'd come in. Well, he looked right at me and goes, all right, Father Frank, where's God in the middle of all this? And, I didn't miss a beat. I'd like to say that, you know, it's because I was smart at that time. I think it was the Holy Spirit definitely giving me what I needed. I looked right at him. I said, hey, he's working through you. Get your butt in there and get a confession. And we had a lot of other conversations, of which I was praying hard during, where we talked about those very issues. And the good news at the end of this story is when I left to go to seminary, he pulled me out in the hallway and he said, Frank, I want to tell you, between my wife praying, and between our conversations, all that, I'm getting baptized this weekend. I want to be able to give a testimony and tell people about, you know, our conversations at work and all that. So,
cool.
You know, to me, I could have dropped dead right there, and that's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Meet Jesus and say, you know, fantastic, you know.
Well, you know, kind of what you probably would bring to a conversation is the sense that somebody is in control of all of this insanity. And I would think that'd be very comforting for you know, a non-believer to witness someone saying, you know, God is in control of all this. He knows about this stuff.
He does. And the other thing, and this goes for anybody who's listening to this who may want to share their faith with somebody, that when these questions are asked, if you don't know, say so. There are some things we don't know. There are some things we cannot get our head wrapped around with God. And that's, I'm not trying to cop out and do the whole, you know, God works in mysterious ways, even though that is true.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be real here. If you think you can get your head wrapped around God, well, I'll keep my God, thank you.
That's right.
So you seminary guys, you've got it easy because they give you the two key answers to everything. Jesus, and why do you ask?
Yeah, right. Which, I just so appreciated coming into because, you know, being an interrogator, you do learn how to question people, how to sort of get to the crux of something. Mm-hmm. And you do have to be a listener. And that's important, I think, not only as a theologian, but as a Christian. So yeah. For the folks on the other end of the mic here that are hearing this, you know, this applies to you, whatever your vocation is. Even though we're sort of talking about peace officers here, you can share your faith in that way.
So what in this politically correct world we live in, you know, it seems to me, my impression is that they don't have much use for a chaplain until someone is killed.
Well, and even then, we're not top on the list, if you will. And it does vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, of course. I have found, and part of it I confess is because of my being from this career field that I sort of have a foot in the door a little bit already that's been helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Officers have this sort of trust barrier that they it's hard to get through. So that does help me. But you're right, they don't. Now, the good news, though, is that when you are there and when we can be there and for the jurisdictions that do sort of have that as part of their program, guys are open. Now, of course, you're always going to have some guys that are, you know, get that away from me. I don't
Yeah, but I mean, it's got to be. That's the thing that I think would really bug me. You talk about getting angry. It's one thing when you are rejected by the people out there because you're the authority figure, but when you're rejected by your own.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Jesus said, though, and I, not to trivialize this, but, you know, they rejected me. What do you think's going to happen with you? You know, so I'd be lying if I didn't say it didn't hurt my feelings. It does. But, you know, at the same time, I know that God's going to do his thing, and I want to just be available for when the door is open. And so I have found that guys just are open when God's the one who opens the door, I guess, is. And when they mm-hmm. are at that stage, then, you know, for me, I pray that I'm ready for that moment, if you will.
So what sights do you have as the executive director of Peace Officer Ministry? What are you hoping to accomplish?
You and a staff of thousands.
Yes.
Well, sure. Anybody who's a sort of a wealthy benefactor who would like to really...
Hey, if you don't ask, you don't get.
That's right. That's right. Now, in all seriousness, my wife will be the mission support coordinator for this, so which is a fancy title for my adult supervision.
Oh, I see. You think of everything. I love it.
Well, you know, she will have, now, Steve Lee's wife currently sort of fills that role. And part of the reason he sent him back, he's a little older than I am, and he's ready to write a book about law enforcement chaplaincy. He'd like to write a textbook, and he'd like to spend a little time being granddad, wife being grandma, mm-hmm. you know, being husband and wife. It can be hard to be employer, employee kind of thing a little bit. So even with that in mind, my wife and I are very enthusiastically taking this up. But we would like to expand our packed seminars in terms of going to more and more places to offer them, because they're a snapshot of what we offer here at the seminary that 1 week a year in the spring.
Okay.
And so it would be a great snapshot for guys to see, and then they could come for that week to get the entire program.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to see that expanded. We've got good news, bad news with our Bibles. You know, the good news is that we have distributed thousands of them. The bad news is we've distributed thousands of them, and we're almost out. We really uh-huh. need to get this next printing going. So we want to get that done and begin to get those into officers' hands. And, you know, I really just want to raise the awareness of this ministry and this mission field.
What is in God's word for peace officers that we need to have another printing? Obviously, it's very popular. So what is it doing in there?
It's, of course... the cover's going to be a little new. We're going to have a burnished sort of looking badge on it. We've got the thin blue line on it, which that will be instantly recognizable by those in the career field.
Okay.
But we do talk about some of the things that I just talked about a little bit, about the two jurisdictions of God, his mercy and his justice, and how those have an interplay, how they are not diametrically opposed, but they are complementary. We do talk about how, you know, the police stories in Scripture to kind of, you know, hey, this does deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
It also has some sections in here about Scripture itself and how it is a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got it in a size that can fit into sort of a go bag, and we can.
Sure. Because you spend a lot of time. From what I understand, I get all my cues from television, of course, where everything's accurately portrayed.
Sure.
But, you know,
in somebody's world.
Sitting there at those stakeouts, you know, for all night long and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's good to have something like this. Does that really happen? I mean, do you spend a lot of time sitting in cars waiting for people to do things? You know?
Yes.
That is a serious question.
I will tell you, again, you know, I could just tell stories all day long, but, you know, a good friend of mine still on the department, we did have a surveillance, had a stakeout of this particular suspect. It was a child abuse case, child pornography and some different stuff. So we're staking out the house and all that. It's like 2:30 in the morning. Well, you know, we turn it to AM radio to see what kind of cool stuff might be on from somewhere else, because, you know, how it bounces off the atmosphere
mm-hmm,
and all
sure,
that kind
sure.
of good stuff. And, you know, kind of talk. But, you know, we laugh because as we're drinking coffee and eating stale sunflower seeds, you know, we're laughing, saying, well, this is the part that won't be in the movie. You know, the 4 hours that we sit out here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know.
And this could be a time for God's word for peace officers, couldn't it?
Yes, indeed. And I certainly, you know, I wish I would have had this sooner in my career, having the preface. Now, fortunately, I'm baptized when I was very young as a Lutheran, and so I did get some of that good from pastors, the good law and gospel. Of course, having gone to seminary now, I've got a little better vocabulary. Throw around a few Latin phrases and sound smart anyway, but, you know, I always enjoyed having those conversations, so I would try to do that.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Executive Director Frank Rufato. God
Peace
bless
Officer
you.
Peace Officer Ministry. You've got to throw that in as well.
We'll be back with more of your afternoon show with Dr. Victor Belton coming up on AM 850
KFUO. I can't wait. That's going to be good.
It's going to be fun.